Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Mike Lynch.
What's going on? This is Rashad.
This is the Sports Sunday Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. It is now brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Weekend sports with a difference.
Yeah, I really shouldn't be drinking.
Oh, really? You learned that in med school? That you obviously didn't get into?
A look at the weekend in sports with the inside story on the Blazers, the Ducks, and the Beavers. This is Sports Sunday with Mike Lynch.
At least I have my own bed.
Your bed is a car.
Yeah, but it's a sweet car.
And Rashad Taylor.
He's a very gifted singer.
I'm really, really good.
How good?
I've been called the songbird of my generation.
Stop.
By people who've heard me. That good.
On 1080, The Fan.
Ooh, guess who's back?
Look, we're all here. Gang's all here. We're the three best friends that anyone could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have.
Yes, we are. And we're back. And although
you guys are matchers today, like
that was
totally,
I don't
know if you planned it or not. I mean, I know you guys are both Broncos fans, and very seldom do I actually see you wear Broncos like attire.
I only have two Broncos shirts. This one, which has a pretty stretched out neck at this point, so I don't really wear it that often anymore. It was the first shirt in the closet that I saw, and I grabbed it in a rush. And then I do have another one that I have, but that's about it. I don't have a ton of clothing from my teams.
I have a bunch of New England hats. And I have a bunch of Blazer shirts, but I don't have a whole lot of New England, you know, stuff for. So Jesse, I don't think I've ever seen Jesse wear like an Abercrombie or like a, you know, just a.
I'm not sure I've seen Jesse wear a non Broncos thing on the show.
I don't think I've seen Jesse wear a non sports related item on the show in the like 4 years, 5 years I've been doing. I don't think I've seen you do it once.
It's typically a Broncos hoodie or a Ducks hoodie. You know, have repped a Blazer shirt here and there, but not too often because I don't typically claim them to be my team very often.
So. I guess Jesse is he's a hoodie guy, and he brags to me, although it's weird, that he wears hoodies when it's hot out because he is very cold all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty cool though. To see you guys are a little matching.
We're both in orange, although I'm in the classic Broncos logo and he's in the new Broncos logo.
Yeah, no, that classic Broncos logo looks good.
Yeah, it does. They should go back to this one.
Yeah, they should.
There's a lot of logos they should probably kind of go back to, like,
ooh,
that modernized in the 90s. That just with the 90s modernization just didn't go well.
No.
Okay, so this is an interesting thing. We could make this a whole topic if you want. This is something that's always been in my head. So on Twitter, I follow like UniWatch and a couple of the guys who run that website, and they always post like what new uniforms are out or what weird things are going on. And sometimes it's a little bit over the top, the amount of stuff that they post. And it's like, oh, really? Someone cares this much that a patch is missing from this guy's jersey? But I like when they post some of the cool new stuff. But the thing that they both have, one of them's name is Paul Lucas, and I forget the other guy's name. They both are obsessed with classic jerseys and hate the new modern look. And I am not one of those people. I appreciate some of the classic jersey looks, right? Like I'm wearing the big old-fashioned Broncos.
The old New England logo was awesome. I love that.
The guy hiking the ball. There are logos that are cool and jerseys that are cool, but there seems to be this really big push. Maybe it's like a hipster push that for some reason people are starting to hate on the new jerseys and they want to go back to all the old ones. And I'm sitting there going, I mean, the new jerseys have a cool style to them, too. Not all of them are bad. I mean, some of them are bad.
Some of them are bad.
Some of the like Louisville's Adidas jerseys are awful. But yeah, there are some really cool college jerseys. I happen to like the new Browns jerseys in the NFL.
Those are awesome.
You know, the Seahawks jerseys.
The Browns can do no wrong. I don't think the Browns have ever had a jersey that I was like, that one's not as cool.
Right, but you know, people ripped the Browns jerseys. They ripped them when they came out.
People hate change. That's why. You know, number one, remember when they changed the Blazers jerseys? And all they were doing, they were changing the font and changing the way the pinwheel looked a little bit. But it's still the Blazers pinwheel and still. But people were like, oh, I don't like that. I can't stand that. What's that biofreeze thing on the left side? It's like, bro, come on. So
did you see that Milwaukee's sponsor is Harley Davidson?
That's awesome.
That's badass.
Is that not the best sponsorship that you can possibly have in the NBA?
Although the Clippers is Bumble, which I think is very funny.
And it's so LA, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like meet somebody, swipe right, you know, I think that's
Bumble's
awesome.
The one where the girl has to reach out to you though, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
It puts the power in their hand, man. Yeah. Good for you, ladies. Make good decisions. Smart decisions.
But yeah, I don't know. It's just weird to me. Like, I understand that classic jerseys have a bit of a nostalgia effect to them, and some of them were great. But that change, I think, is necessary for a lot of those old school jerseys.
Man, just imagine if we're really being nostalgic like that. Let's just say that Tampa Bay is bringing the creamsicles back, and that's going to stay. No one wants to wear that jersey. That's the ugliest orange in the history of orange. And I mean, no offense, guys. Orange isn't an awesome color, but I mean, you guys obviously great in it today.
Orange is an awesome color.
I mean,
you take that back.
Okay, sure. Oh, excuse me, Mr. Syracuse. I totally forgot for a second, but yes.
Two of my teams have orange in it.
That's coincidence?
Oh, bro.
Nope.
Bro. Like, the glove's about to be thrown down.
Yeah, I can already see.
Talk it.
Jesse's
you
got
trash,
a really dominant.
Throwing some shade at orange.
You should see the way Jesse's sitting. It's very dominant right now. Like he's very offended.
He's got
by
the
me.
Left arm out on the mic button, but he hasn't moved it. He's flexing that arm underneath the orange hoodie.
Just to let me know that he's buff.
I'm telling you, man. Shade being thrown at orange, cool.
Hey, you know,
like burnt orange is sick. That the all orange Broncos uniforms, ooh,
that's different. Ooh, the Broncos, I acknowledge the Broncos jerseys were dope. You know, especially the ones from the 90s. You know, the John Elway Super Bowl years. Those jerseys were super tight.
I think the other thing I don't like about this argument is that although the designs may have been better, the actual jerseys were awful. They were baggy. They had really long sleeves for no reason. There were the cutoff jerseys in college in the 90s where you saw the entire midriff and they had the mesh
there was
part over the
ones.
Abdomen. I mean, there was they just fit poorly. NBA jerseys now look better than ever in terms of how they fit. They just look good.
You know, NBA jerseys, especially then, was all about being baggy. You couldn't, you know, Stockton was the only person that wore those shorts until, you know, 98. Everybody else had kind of adapted to a bigger, baggier style.
Right, now, that was the style of the 90s.
But now that we've moved forward, everybody is
in the
very
early thousands,
slim
yeah.
fit, you know? And so that's what the jerseys look like. That's what baseball jerseys are starting to look like. Everything is just getting tighter and tighter on the players.
I just don't love I feel like it is a very large portion of the population that just wants to hate on all the new jerseys. Now, they're not all winners. The new Bucks jerseys kind of suck.
And so the logo is just text that in.
The logo is way too big. Like, it's like five times too big.
The new Jets jerseys look like Portland State.
Yeah, but I do like the all blacks. Those are cool.
I like
all black
jerseys. Never had black in their jerseys, like, and that's my thing. Like, if you're gonna have,
so you don't like alternate jerseys then?
I'm not a huge fan of alternate like colors and stuff like that.
I love that stuff.
I'm honestly not really. You know, you just can't have a pink jersey for no reason unless it's like Breast Cancer Awareness Month or something. It's weird.
Who has a pink jersey?
I don't know. I'm just throwing out random colors, like, you know, just the. Like Toronto, the colors used to be purple and they're no longer that. Like I haven't seen the purple alternate all year. I'd love to see the Raptor, you know, jersey. That was a cool jersey when you're a kid. So,
their new jerseys are cool though.
You know, Drake has like three Toronto Raptors jerseys.
I like the North with the red and the white triangle thing on it. That's cool.
The white one of that one is a Drake jersey, and then they have another one that's a black one that's also a Drake, I guess, inspired jersey. Oh, we're gonna get so much play.
Yeah, we are.
So much finals, Drake.
Well, save your Drake, because we're going to talk about the series eventually in the show. Not right away, but we'll get to it. But save your Drake thoughts, because I think Drake's fun, because it's just another storyline that's silly, right? I mean, sure, he's over the top, but that's the whole point, right?
Is he the new Spike?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Well, he's worse than Spike Lee was, because he's hugging Nick Nurse and giving him back rubs during the game.
I think he likes it. I think Nick Nurse is all for it.
Well, I mean, it's Drake. Wouldn't you like it?
No, I wouldn't.
Hey, man.
Don't touch me, man. It's an tense moment.
Their tense moment, he's loosening them up. He's just getting them a little loose over there on the sidelines.
That's,
you know,
where we're different. It's like, if I'm in a tense moment like that, I don't need you to rub my shoulder. Man, back up, bro. What you doing? Like, trying to win.
So I have returned from Turks and Caicos, which I was going to talk about here in the first segment, but Jersey Talk took up the first segment. I'll get to it at some point during the show. That place was awesome. Absolutely awesome. And it rained every day, and it was still awesome. And now I want to go back when it's not raining every day. That's how much I liked it. I want to go back ASAP. And so we'll talk about that at some point, probably late in the show. But there's a lot of stuff to get to today. This week, Dirt and Sprague had Jonathan Smith in studio for a half hour. And we have a bunch of audio from that we'd like to play and talk about the Beavs moving forward as year two of Jonathan Smith is underway down in Corvallis. The Blazers did get knocked out by the Warriors in a sweep. That happened on Monday, so we've had a lot of time to digest the series. I don't really think we need to talk about that, but I want to look ahead with them a little bit now that Neil Olshey got his extension and Terry Stotts got his extension. So we'll talk about that probably starting next. Raptors-Bucks as well. A loaded show, and Hate It or Love It coming up in the 10 o'clock hour too. So a loaded show, but we'll start with the Blazers next. Now that Neil Olshey got his contract extension, and now that you've seen Toronto, who added Kawhi Leonard in a ballsy move this offseason, make the finals, what should the Blazers do in a similar regard to try to match that? That is next here on Sports Sunday on the Fan.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back into Sports Sunday, 9:15. Mike, Rashad, Jesse with you till 11 o'clock this morning. Blazers out of the playoffs since the last time we had this show. Actually, the last time I had this show, we hadn't even started the Warriors series yet.
The last time you started the show,
last time I was on the show,
was sky high.
I think it was the day of Game 7, wasn't it? Wasn't Game 7 on that Sunday at 12:30? Weren't we previewing Game 7 for the Nuggets series? Yeah, that was the last time I did the show. So, and to be honest, I was in the Caribbean, so I did not watch a lot of the Blazers-Warriors series. It was on ESPN, so when we went out places, it was on the TV. But I didn't really watch a lot of it. I caught up when I got back. I found out they blew three different leads and yada, yada, yada. So we don't need to talk about it. It's been talked about for an entire week. But what I do want to talk about is the upcoming offseason for this Blazers team. So we just watched yesterday Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors make their first ever NBA Finals, the Raptors. And the only reason the Raptors are in their first ever NBA Finals is because this offseason they said, you know what? We might have the number one seed in the East, and we might win 50-plus games a year, but this ain't going to cut it. And they traded DeMar DeRozan, and they got Kawhi Leonard on a chance that he might stay. And we still don't know yet, because Kawhi is a free agent after this year. Lots of talk about him going to the Clippers or the Lakers or other teams that are in bigger markets than Toronto, although Toronto is a huge market, but bigger U.S. markets, I suppose, than Toronto. But they gave themselves a chance to re-sign him. And I think in this time and day and age in the NBA, when you are a team of that level, you just need to give yourself a chance. Who thought that Paul George was going to stay with the Thunder? Nobody. He did. I mean, I don't know what Kawhi is going to do, but the fact that they made the finals and if they push the Warriors, you think he's going to leave? He might, but there's a high chance he stays too. So you just give yourself that chance. And I think that's what a lot of Blazer fans want to see from Neil Olshey this offseason, or at least in the next year or two, now that you have expiring contracts on the books, now that you're in the last year of the Evan Turner and the Myers Leonard and the Mo Harkless deals, which are tradable assets at this point. I think a lot of Blazer fans want to see Neil Olshey follow suit in some way, shape, or form to try to make a big move like that.
Well, yes. I think that's the hope, is that you can make a move like that. The only thing in the case of a guy like a Kawhi, somebody that can really change your franchise, is there's not a lot of those dudes out there. Like, well, mind you, there are some, you know, really good basketball players, especially at the three spot. There's about three or four really, really special ones, really, really game-changing ones. Paul George, as great as he is, how much did that help OKC? You know, this year in the playoffs.
Imagine where they would have been without him, though.
They're nowhere near there, but with him, it's still a first round exit. So, great players can come in and they can do some things for you, but that doesn't necessarily guarantee you a win. Like, I think Kawhi's in a great situation. Like, it's easy to look at him right now and say, you know, man, I wish we could have something like that. But the truth is, Toronto was already set up to be a very good team. You know, they had a good player in DeMar DeRozan, and then they upgraded for a better player in Kawhi Leonard. But a lot of things had to work out for that to happen. San Antonio had to spitefully send him to Toronto where he didn't want to go, as opposed to send him to LA or to, I can't remember the other teams he was thinking about going to at that point. Like, there were a lot of things at work. You know, Jimmy Butler, every time he got left a team, there was something going on there to where he had to be shipped out. Or, you know, so they're getting these guys based on things happening around the league. Like, if that happens for the Blazers, then awesome. But are you really willing to give up? Like, CJ McCollum, say what you will about him, CJ kept you in the playoffs. CJ was a better player than Damian Lillard after the first series, for the rest of the way. Every playoff game they had, even the games against Golden State, CJ was a better player than Damian Lillard was. And so, like, are you really willing to give that away? I feel like, man, as Blazer fans right now, we're kind of course you're proud of your team, but I think there's still some disappointment there because you were right there for the first time in almost 20 years. You were right there. You could taste it. You could see going to the finals. Especially
not as right there as you were in 2000, but
not as right there as you were in 2000, but you could see the fact that you saw you could compete with Golden State. You saw you could beat Golden State, and for whatever reason, you just couldn't hang on to it. But then you start thinking, man, what happens if you have a Nurkic? You know, I think this team looks much different with Yusuf Nurkic going into the playoffs. And so while I think O'Shea has some work to do, and I think the Blazers are still in a very, very good spot in the much more competitive Western Conference.
The thing here, though, that is a key for me, and I wasn't even necessarily considering the CJ trade, although you would have to do that for a certain level of player, right? For the Kawhi level of player, you would have to trade CJ. But then again, if you had to trade CJ for a Kawhi level player, I'd do it in a heartbeat, 100%. I wouldn't even think twice about it because Kawhi is that much better than CJ McCollum is. It's not to say CJ is bad. CJ's proven himself this season and especially this postseason to me that I think the two-guard system can work if you have the right pieces around you, because Lillard and McCollum have improved defensively enough to where they're not liabilities on that side of the court anymore. But my thought was more in this light here. There's only a couple left at this point, but there are some players who were on big contracts on bad teams. It doesn't happen very often anymore because the NBA is getting smarter, and you're not seeing this many bad contracts anymore. But the number one guy that I see, and I've seen talked about on various Blazer posts and stuff, that could be a fit in terms of taking on some money to help a team that doesn't need him, but a really, really good player who just made the All-NBA team this year, is Blake Griffin on the Pistons. He's got 3 years left on a big contract, but imagine not trading CJ, and your team is Lillard, McCollum, whoever at the three, Blake Griffin, and Nurk when he comes back.
That's a team that's going to be in the conference finals every year, presumably.
Because this is the thing. Yes, in the West right now, you're in a good spot. But you're not in a good spot to beat the Warriors. Nobody really is, right? And you can hope and pray and wait that the Warriors fall apart and break up. But then all of a sudden, the Clippers will come up as the next super team because guys are going to be signing there. I think you've got to make that move as soon as possible. Now, I'm not saying immediately, maybe not this year, although this is a good year to do it because you have expiring deals. But you have to try to make that jump now because you see where you are now. I agree with you. The Blazers are in a great spot. I don't think this year was necessarily a fluke. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to get to the Western Conference Finals every year, but I think they're good enough with the right matchups and with, you know, a good enough Damian Lillard play in this series and good enough CJ play in this series or a healthy Nurk to be able to get back there at a certain time. But you got to be able to help yourself at this point when you've got the elite of the elite still in the West with you at the Warriors. Because you looked as good, well as you have, or as good as you have for years and years and years, and you still got swept by Golden State. So you need to do something. And maybe that means trading Zach Collins, right? Maybe that means giving up Collins and Myers and Turner for Blake Griffin.
And you know what? To be honest, of the three, I think the only person that Blazer fans would be really sad to see go would be Zach.
Of course. You don't want another Jermaine O'Neal if you're a Blazer fan, but you also need to accept that you need to get better.
No, absolutely. And I think Zach would be, you know, one of those guys that has some value, has shown that he can be a very good player for you. Evan Turner at times has showed he could be great when he's not trying to, you know, score or anything like that. When he's trying to distribute and rebound and play defense, Evan Turner is a hell of a player. But once he starts trying to make plays for himself, that's when it becomes kind of an issue for the rest of the team. But to quote the great Kevin Malone from The Office, you know, a fluke is one of the most common fish in the ocean. So, yeah, you can say, like, it just kind of happened. But, hey, man, there was no fluke for the Blazers to get there. This was a slow, this is a gradual build for them to get to this point. The thing I worry about is how are you able to replace some of those impact players that you've had this year? I remember this time last year, maybe a little bit later, this time last year, we were talking about, at least I was, about how disappointing the offseason was and bringing in guys like Seth Curry and bringing in who was the other one? Was it Layman or was it
You got Seth this year. You got
I forget who the other person was. Somebody
oh,
that was
Stauskas.
Like, yeah, Stauskas. Nick Stauskas is like, man, come on. This is what's gonna help you win.
Right, but the guys who were gone that you're not gonna be able to get back, almost certainly are not gonna be able to get back, are Cantor, Curry, and Hood.
And that's Cantor, Curry, and Hood were three of the big reasons the Blazers were able to advance in the playoffs. Like Rodney Hood, his play against Utah, like you don't make it that far, you know. And
you mean Denver?
Excuse me, Denver. I'm so sorry. Yes, this play against Denver, you don't make it, you know, to the conference finals if he doesn't come through and save the Blazers on multiple occasions. Seth Curry making huge shots in that series, you know, that doesn't happen if he's not. So, I mean, Cantor clearly goes without saying, you know, his impact throughout the playoffs and everything. So these things don't happen if you don't make these big acquisitions, you know, some point during the season. And so you wonder, like, what happens now? Because this is the best the Blazers have done in 19 years. And now you're going to lose three of the pieces that definitely helped you get there. Where does that put you? And I think that's the big question for everybody now.
Well, and I think that's where this is going to be a very vital offseason for Olshay, obviously, for many reasons. But in that sense, you're really tight against the salary cap. You are, I think, already in the luxury tax. And although I think a lot of people, we've already gotten a couple of texts about trying to get Jimmy Butler, or trying to trade for Anthony Davis. There are things out there that actually just are not possible for this Blazers team. If you clear cap space off the books, it's really confusing, but I read an article about it on Blazers Edge, and you can probably find it if you look it up. There's some very, very weird cap rules out there that even if you clear that off the books, you can't just go sign a max player. It puts you into the luxury tax so steep that you'll be paying it forever. And for some, I apologies for not having the exact reasoning in my head. The cap stuff is so confusing to me in all sports. I struggle with it a lot, but Blazers Edge has been doing a great job with it when they've been covering it. It's not as easy as just clearing salary cap and then going and getting a max player to fill that spot. You need a max slot to get a max player. So I'm not sure that Jimmy Butler is really an option. I guess he could be if I'm wrong on this, but I don't think that's going to be a realistic option for the Blazers. I don't think Kawhi Leonard's a realistic option for the Blazers. I don't think Anthony Davis is a realistic option.
And that's
why I say Blake Griffin. To me, that although it's a push and it's a risky trade, it's a realistic option.
Well, if you're so for the offseason for the Blazers, you have to look at this kind of, okay, Seth Curry, we're going to lose Seth Curry. You're hoping that Anthony Simons is able to come in and kind of fill that role, right?
So he can score.
Yeah, a guy that can come in, score, shoot some threes. All right, if you got that, okay, check. All right, we're probably going to lose Cantor. You did see some good improvement from that front court, whether it was Meyer Leonard's or Collins. But at some point, you're going to get Nurkic back, right? So you're going to lose Cantor. The only thing that you can kind of possibly do, and it is like incredibly unlikely, but it is in the realm of possibility, is you can get creative, free up, it's just a couple million dollars in the cap space, and then you can offer a guy like Rodney Hood $9 million in that mid-level exception instead of, I think what it is like 4.5 right now.
Right. I think it's 5.2 million in the mid-level. Right. But yeah, so that's kind of the point I was making. Yes. Without the right numbers is you can only do so much to manipulate the cap space you have, which you could get back a guy like Curry or Hood if you wanted, if they took $9 million.
And Hood is the guy that you would get. Not Curry doesn't want to be here. He doesn't like his role. Hood likes being here, likes his role, but he's not going to stay for $5 million.
Right.
And Cantor would be one of those guys that would be probably of the three, the most likely to accept, like, sometimes just having been waived and having, you know, like, he's probably
he just made himself some money this offseason.
That's the problem. He did make a lot of money.
But he also showed the world that he is a huge defensive liability that you can't play in some situations. So, I mean, unless he can
against the Warriors pick and roll, you mean?
against anyone's pick and roll. Like, I mean, it's not really as fair because – well, no, it is fair because Steven Adams looked like an all-star for points of the OKC series. Like, why can't you stop Steven Adams, who's not known for his prolific scoring? You know, he's known as a defensive guy, somebody who can finish around the rim, but Steven Adams was hitting jumpers on you, and where was your defense? So he did kind of expose himself there, but he also did show
– he played pretty well against you.
He showed how tough he was, man. I think with the bum shoulder and everything and still able to go out there and do what he did, he's going to make himself some money. But if it doesn't come, then I think of the guys that they're able to – that would take that mid-level, I think Cantor would be the one that's most likely to do it.
Couple of texts on the Better You Today text line of 55305, which we'll get to after the break, as well as moving on into the Toronto-Milwaukee series. This is Sports Sunday. First, Jesse S. Sports Center.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
934. Text lines 55305, Better You Today text line. Wanted CJ traded forever, but Philly's improved beyond what I expected. Not sure what forward is worth trading for, how they'd mesh with Dame and Nurkic. Yeah, I'm kind of in the anti-trading CJ camp, unless you're getting top-of-the-top player, like a Kawhi Leonard-level player, for sure. I am 100% against that, just because of what I saw this postseason. I mean, he was sensational scoring this postseason and was not a liability on defense anymore. So it got to the point where I like I said last segment, I think this two guard system can work with the right pieces around it. It's no longer what the Warriors had with Monte Ellis and Steph Curry that they had to break up because it wasn't working. I think it can work. It's just up to Olshay to make the right moves to put the right pieces around it.
Well, I definitely think it could work. I just think it was two guys that were both. CJ is a guy that came into the starting lineup because really, CJ's been a starter now for what? This is year number four without LaMarcus, five. So he's been a starter now for the past few years, and every year he's just got increasingly better. First it was just scoring the ball, and now it's his defense that's gotten a little bit better. He's gotten a little bit chippier in some of those things. Like, CJ has become a great NBA player, and my question is always, like, trade him for who? Like, because you mentioned Kawhi once, probably arguably – you know, going to be one of the great players in the NBA, already is. Anthony Davis, top 10 player in the NBA. You know, Paul George, arguably a top 10 guy. I don't know if he's first team this year, but but Paul George is super, super cold. You know, so there's only a few of those guys, though. Jimmy Butler, yeah, but do you want Jimmy Butler and everything that comes with Jimmy Butler? Like, that's the thing. Like, you get a great talent.
I think Jimmy Butler would fit perfectly.
And we could fit perfectly, but then you get everything that comes with Jimmy Butler, like the if it's not me, then I'm gone. Like everywhere he's gone to teams that have been, with the exception of Minnesota, like he couldn't make it happen in Milwaukee for whatever reason, couldn't get along with Derrick Rose. Couldn't make it happen in Minnesota because he couldn't get along with Carl
Anthony Towns. You mean Anthony Chicago,
Towns. Not Milwaukee? No, dang it, I keep doing that, I'm sorry. Couldn't get along with Chicago, which is super close to Milwaukee, but Chicago. And couldn't do it with Kat in Minnesota. Seems to be having some type of issue, you know, in Philly. It's like, at what point do you say, man, it's you, and I don't really want to take on that type of baggage? It'd be different if he was like a Ron Artest type of defender, but he's not. Like, he's a very good one. He's a great defender, but he doesn't change what you do defensively like that, you know? So, I mean, Jimmy Butler's great, but I wouldn't want him and everything that he brings with this team that seems like they really care about each other. They really like each other.
And it called me crazy. I wouldn't give up CJ for Butler or Anthony Davis. And that's because of the culture and the attitude that these guys bring to the team. And I think that is extremely underrated in the grand scheme of things. When everything that you just touched on with Jimmy Butler is one of the reasons why Philly's not moving on. You have the chemistry issues, the those guys bring to a team. You know, a guy like Anthony Davis just quit on his team halfway through the season because he didn't want to play out the rest of his year and a half of contract. Are you kidding me? You quit on your team. That's different. I get the money. You can come out and say you want to be traded, but you just flat out were like, I'm just not playing for a couple weeks. I'm just not going to play. And that to me was unacceptable. That's not a guy I want on my team or on my franchise. And so I would rather have a guy like CJ who, yes, is on the court. No, he's not as good of a player, but off the court in that huddle on the sidelines, 10 times the player guys are.
The culture thing is interesting because that's always been the selling point for Neil O'Shea's moves that he's made. And I think for a lot of people for a long time, you look at that and you kind of go, yeah, but what? Right? You can have a great culture, but you're not winning. Well, now you're winning. At least you made it to the Western Conference Finals, and you have that great culture. And everybody has now talked about how that's one of the reasons why they made it this far, made it through such a tough season with the Paul Allen passing and some of the injuries that you dealt with and the coaching, the video coordinator who got into the car crash. You went through so much, and you were able to still make the Western Conference Finals that maybe there's more to it than I think a lot of us thought. We thought it was just kind of like a nice, fancy selling point for the team, but Enes Kanter couldn't say anything but positives about it, and Rodney Hood said nothing but positives about it. So maybe there's more to it than that, and maybe you're right, but I also wonder if the strength of the culture is enough that you could massage Jimmy Butler into someone who would enjoy playing here too, right, if you get that caliber of a player. I wonder if it's that level or if that one bad seed comes in and ruins the whole thing.
Here's the cool part. Jimmy Butler is really seen by a lot of fans and a lot of, you know, reporters as a good dude. Like, every interview I've ever seen with Jimmy Butler is like, man, you seem like the coolest dude ever, you know. But even with cool dudes, there's that trigger that kind of changes things, especially when you're talking about being an alpha. Like, Jimmy Butler is one of them dudes that wants to be the star. The spotlight needs to rest on top of my head. And the thing is, you come to Portland, you're going to be number two. That's just kind of what it is. As great as you are you a better overall basketball player than Damian Lillard? Perhaps. But will Damian Lillard still be the star? Man, absolutely. This is his team. So I think some guys struggle with that. You know who did struggle with that? D-Wade. D-Wade, because why? Because he had set a culture in Miami that says, man, we play together. We're here for each other. This is what we do. LeBron, come here and be the guy. No problem. I'll take a second seat to you. Damian Lillard will openly say that, but I think it would still be tough for Butler to fully grasp, almost kind of like LaMarcus. LaMarcus was really kind of threatened by the fact that Dame was so good and really on the way up. I think Jimmy Buckets is one of those dudes that would really have a problem with that.
Think about a guy like Kyrie Irving, who was in Cleveland and he hated that he wasn't the guy. He was the guy. LeBron comes, he's not the guy. Hates being in LeBron's shadow. So he goes to a place that has probably maybe the best culture in the NBA. Loves winning NBA titles in Boston. You got a great young nucleus there. They literally are like, this is your team, even though we just get, you know, we have all of these great talents, Jason Tatum coming up, but it's going to be your team. And he still has issues there. That's my problem with guys like that. He lands in the perfect situation to flourish and succeed. Instead, he's a problem. And that to me is why I mean, sure, maybe it ends up the other way. Maybe they end up like acclimating and becoming one with the great culture. But in reality, these guys, to me, and I bring it up all the time, they're cancers. And you bring a cancer into a locker room and it takes a great culture and it kills it. Because that's what cancer does. It kills things. So
it is. I mean, yes. I wonder. That's all. I wonder if it's strong enough to withstand it. Because you're right. I mean, the Dwayne Wade thing was able to hold together a pretty strange pairing of players for a decent years. Amount of seasons.
4 years, four straight finals.
Yeah.
You know, so
and they're seeing that right now in Golden State. Every single one of those guys took a back seat for KD, and KD still has a problem with it.
But they're also still winning.
They are still winning. But KD, I got to go to New York. I got to prove it's mine.
Which makes it weirder. Like, Jimmy Butler is one of those things, like, I'm losing, so now I'm more of an issue. Like, that's kind of what we've seen. Like, I think, well, a lot of times, Anthony Davis, you didn't put anything around me for 7 years, and now I'm frustrated. Like, I'm tired of losing. KD's in a situation where this is the best team ever put together, quite possibly, and I'm mad about it, and I want my own opportunity to show that, no, it's not him, it's me. I'm the guy. Even though Steph has openly said, KD is, man, this is our guy. This is the team. He can come in and do what he wants to. I'm not really tripping. Like, he still has an issue with other people seeing it as somebody else's team as opposed to the guy that's saying, go ahead and have it, bro. Like, That's weird. And that's why I think I admire LeBron, because you want me to be the star? Okay, I'll do it. I think it was tough for him at first, but, man, I'll figure it out, and I don't have a problem with it. Like, my ego isn't going to, you know, as big as an ego as LeBron has, he's been able to take teams to the finals. There's some cohesion there somewhere, you know what I mean? So Buckets isn't one of those guys.
Coming up next, let's get into the Raptors-Bucks series that wrapped up last night. Toronto with 4 straight wins in the series to win in 6 and head to the NBA Finals. This is Sports Sunday on The Fan.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Last segment here of your first hour on Sports Sunday. Better You Today, text lines 55305. Also got a text that I forgot to mention last segment. Where did it go? So that's why adding a good player and getting Nurk back could be enough. We were talking about adding Blake Griffin or getting a good player to fill one of those 3 or 4 roles, and then getting Nurk back plus the 2 guards could be enough. Yeah, it could be. That's why I think you need to strike now while the iron's hot to try to keep this momentum going. Don't fall back to another first round exit before you get back there again, because you were waiting too long to make that kind of a move. Anyway, let's move on to the Raptors-Bucks series that wrapped up yesterday. So the Bucks are up 2-0. Apparently you were just raving about how great the Bucks were last show and how they were going to be amazing. Lucky for me, I only did that in the first round and said that they would beat the Celtics in 5, and you laughed at me. And then they beat the Celtics in 5, so...
Listen, I can't tell you how wrong I've been about the Eastern Conference this year. Like, I was for sure Boston, because like Jesse was saying, everything's in place there in Boston. Kyrie is just the icing on the cake, you know, the cherry on top, and that should have been enough. And after that first game, you saw how good Boston was, and then Kyrie didn't happen. And they
Kawhi
lost.
Did, not Kawhi, and, then Giannis,
and Giannis did.
Did,
and he just ran through everything. And that was the only game they lost, I think, in the playoffs, right? Up until that point, up until they played Toronto. And they just, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know what happened. Last week, I saw arguably the best team in the playoffs. And the team that was really running through everybody like a hot knife through butter. And all of a sudden, in a week, just 1 week, 7 days later, it's a totally different story. And this isn't one of those Miami beating Dallas in 06 type situations. You know, no, this is, they just completely outplayed them for the next 4 games. And they built a wall around Giannis right around the free throw line, told him, man, make a jump shot. We challenge you to do it. And he couldn't do it a lot of nights. And Chris Middleton, it just showed that he's a very good player. I mean, much better than me, but B+ right now, B+ at this point. Like, Milwaukee fell apart. And Toronto, we forget that Kawhi Leonard, I think some people forget that he's an NBA champion, that this is his third, while this is Toronto's first trip, this is his third time on his way to the finals. He's been the finals MVP. He outplayed the best player in basketball for 4 games and showed the world who he was. Like, Kawhi has done it again. And this, it's hard to see a team implode like that. I really thought that the Blazers really meltdown over 4 games was the most, like, baffling thing I had seen. Like, how are you up in every single game? The Blazers led more of the series than Golden State did. So how you let that happen for 4 straight games was – it blew my mind. So for Milwaukee to be up 2 games and convincing in those 2 games, for you to lose 4 straight, like,
I think it's worse than the Blazers. Yeah,
it was. I think it vindicated the Blazers. Thank you, because if you're the Blazers now, it's like, well, at least we lost a team that's probably going to be the champion.
We didn't lose 4 straight.
Yeah, you know, we lost 4 straight, but we lost 4 straight in a sweep. Like, you were projected to win the series, and everybody thought you should win the series. And everybody said, really, I'm not the only one. Everybody said Milwaukee was going to the finals for the most part.
And people said they had a chance to beat the Warriors in the finals, too.
Absolutely. And I saw that. I was like, okay, I could see what you mean by that. But Kawhi just said not to be. You know what Kawhi does? And this is for a topic for another day. I said this once before. Man, he moves like Jordan. he does. I'm not saying he's as good as Jordan. No, that would be ridiculous. Well, you know, he's great, but that would be ridiculous. Like, but just the things he does, the way he moves with the ball, his fadeaways, little things, like he's like almost a mirror image, you know, of what Jordan is. Obviously more fluid and stuff like that. But if you look at the way Kawhi moves, it's really kind of weird. It's like, huh, I've seen that move before.
Yeah, that is Kawhi Leonard. I don't want to say he had a coming out party in this series, but it kind of felt like he did. I mean, we've seen him in the finals before. We've seen him play out in the Spurs before, but it's different with the Raptors. He has more control with the Raptors offense. He has more impact on that game than he did when he was in San Antonio. And he's just better now because he's been playing for more years than when he was with the Spurs. But from the games that I did see in that series, it did feel like the Bucks were up in almost every game. And then Kawhi Leonard just said, okay, we're done. And just went on a single-handed mission to destroy the Bucks' will. And we got a text about this, and I had seen this article too, or this comment on Twitter. They said that after the game four loss, where it was tied 2-2, in the Bucks locker room was like a morgue. They had no energy. They looked like they had lost. And that right there was proof they had lost. If you have that mental energy at a 2-2 in the series, where both teams have won on their home courts, you've lost. And they did. That moment right there showed you why the Bucks weren't ready yet. And it shows you the difference between the playoffs and the regular season. I mean, it's the same thing that happened with the Nuggets series with the Blazers. I mean, the Blazers used to be that team. Now they have experience in the playoffs. Denver has no experience in the playoffs. And it showed in that series time and time again, Denver looked a little bit scared of the spotlight, whether it was Jamal Murray clanking shots or their bench players completely missing everything or Jokic disappearing in game seven. And it's the same thing of this. This is the Bucks' first true run in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. This is Giannis's first time that he's had any sort of challenge. And he ran into a guy in Kawhi Leonard who'd been there before. And hell, even the Raptors, although they've lost, have been there before.
You got to look at this Raptors
experience
teams.
Matters.
And I think that's the one thing that, you know, nobody really talked about is the overall experience from Toronto. Now, Kyle Lowry hasn't been awesome in every game, but Kyle Lowry is still an experienced playoff, you know, point guard. He's had some really great moments. He's had some crappy moments in the playoffs.
Adding Marc Gasol was big,
but,
too.
You know, Marc Gasol, you know, somebody who's been to the conference finals, you know, with Memphis and been able to be a star of a team and an all-star. Serge Ibaka has been to the NBA finals. You know, Serge Ibaka is somebody who's really transformed his game as far as being just a defender and shot blocker to being able to hit multiple wide-open three-pointers. So this team is – Danny Green played for the Spurs, made huge shots for the Spurs, won a championship with the Spurs, is no stranger to being in the playoffs and being in the conference finals. So you're looking at a team that was just ready. You look on the Milwaukee side, and the most seasoned person they have is on the bench in street clothes in Pau Gasol. Outside of that, nobody else has any of that experience that you would need to make a deep, deep playoff run. So, yeah, that has a lot to do with it.
A couple more texts. This is back on the Blazers, but that's fine. So now that the Blazers made it to the conference finals, expectations are even that much higher. All or nothing. It's tough, man. Yeah, it is all kind of all or nothing, right? Before it was nothing. You were losing in the first round almost every year. You got swept a couple years in a row. You had lost 10 straight playoff games. Now you make the conference finals and you got to get back there again. But that's sports, right? You can have realistic expectations. I think some Blazer fans are looking at this and saying that's doable, but getting back to the conference finals every year is tough. It's not going to happen unless you really make a step this year to get that much better. And so I think realistically, Blazer fans will look at it and go, well, it was a great run. It was perhaps a little lucky getting the teams that you did when you did, but it was also the right time and the right place and the right team to do it. But there's a reason only so many teams make the conference finals over and over again. It takes a special type of team to do that.
It does. And I really think it takes replacing some of these guys that you're going to lose. Like, you have your base, you have your core, CJ, Dame, Nurkic, once he's healthy, you know, but you know, how do you replace Rodney Hood? You know, who are the other Rodney Hood guys, you know, that are out there? Is it somebody like a Rudy Gay for a little bit? You know, maybe a Danny Green when he's available for free agency this summer. So there are some guys that you can look at and say they might be able to fill this role. And you would think somebody like a Danny Green would love it here in Portland. You know, having played in San Antonio, then went up to Toronto, which is a gorgeous city if you've never been there. But yeah, I think there are some guys that you can get. But I think it's really about replacing those impact players from your bench? You know, how do you find another Cantor? You know, like, so how do you find another guy that's going to come in and easily be able to get you 12, 14 points off the bench? You know, I think those are going to be the important things for the Blazers as they get ready to move forward.
This other text before we go is Kevin Love a possibility? Yeah, he would be in that same group of overpaid players on bad teams that they would likely try to get rid of that contract for the expiring contracts. Now, I think Blake Griffin's a better player than Kevin Love and would have more impact than Kevin Love personally. But yes, he would be an option as well if you were trying to make the trade market to go help a team get out from under a big contract and give them your expiring deals. And I mean, yes, that would make you better too. I just think Blake Griffin does more. He's more athletic. Both of them have had injury issues in the last few years, so you're not really gaining or losing anything between the two in that sense. Blake Griffin can shoot the ball. Kevin Love's probably a better shooter, but Blake Griffin does more in the post now. So, I mean, I would take Griffin over Love. I would try to at least, but yeah, I think he's a possibility as well.
No, yeah, Kevin Love is somebody whose game has clearly, you know, changed and plays for a team that's decided to go young and go young fast. And so, but he's still somebody that was able to put up 17 and 10, you know, and his and that's arguably his worst year that he's ever had as an NBA player. So I think he can come back to Portland if he wanted to, which I've heard he doesn't really want to play in Portland. So come to Portland and really play his natural role.
Can't really choose if you get traded, though.
You can't, you know, but, you know, you want somebody to be there or want to be there. I think that's more than anything. You know, sometimes getting traded, you don't have a choice, as you saw with Kawhi Leonard. So now you got to hope that they want to be there. So.
Another guy I've seen mentioned who I think is a hard pass is Andrew Wiggins, because they gave him a gigantic contract to Minnesota and he's done nothing to live up to it. And I don't think you want Andrew Wiggins on this Blazers team. I just don't think he's as good as we all thought he would be with the number one pick.
He's somebody, he hasn't panned out, but he's still somebody that can get you, you know, 18, you know, 19 points a game. I think the fact that he doesn't average 24 was the big disappointment, because that's what you thought he was going to be out of college. But I think we overlook how special they're got. We mentioned there's, what, 30 guys in the league, 20-something guys in the league that average at least 20. That's not a lot, considering there are, you know, 30 teams and 15 guys, 12, 15 guys on each team. So still averaging 18 or something like that for this Blazers team could be incredibly beneficial. Like I said, if you're not losing any of your core players, like, that's somebody that can be incredibly helpful at that three spot. Absolutely. All of a sudden, Andrew Wiggins goes from being just kind of okay to a factor on a team.
This text says, I don't think Cantor's going anywhere because he's already got 75 to 80 mil in the bank. He wants to play with Dame. I wouldn't hold your breath on that. That Cantor's going to go. Hood's going to go, and Curry's going to go. Expect it. Accept it.
People like money.
And move forward.
It's pretty.
People like money. That's a great point.
Yeah, people like money.
There's always more money to be had. It takes a very rare person to say, yeah, I'll pass on that money. I mean, I guess there's the smallest of small chances that happens, but no. Those three guys are not leaving unless, like Jesse said the other segment, you free up enough to make the mid-level exception worth Rodney Hood's while, basically, at $9 million or something like that. That's about the only chance you're going to have. All right, coming up next hour, we got Hand It to Levitt at 10:30. We also have some Oregon State chatter after Jonathan Smith sat in with Dirt and Sprague. But first, Rashad wants to bring up a NFL Hall of Fame conversation. That's next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.